And so I want to ask you this. Do you see yourself as a hero? Do you see yourself as a warrior of God? As a Christian, what do you see yourself as? You know, I read a book, a very challenging book called Mordecai. And Mordecai was challenging Esther. And Esther was the hero, but actually Mordecai was the hero. And if you know the story of Esther, and you could read it, you know, the book of Esther, it's like reading a novel. And you know that Esther was raised up to be the queen, this beautiful Esther, the queen, and placed in the harem, you know. And every so often she'd be called upon to spend the night with the king and get his favor. Well, I won't go into the dynamics of that, but what was happening was that there was a man, an evil man, who got into the king's ear and got the king to make a pronouncement that on a certain day, all the Jews would be exterminated. Now, Esther was a Jew, but she was raised by this cousin, really an old cousin, named Mordecai, and he had told her not to let people know she was Jewish. But now, when this decree went out, he challenges her. Now you have got to go before the king and you've got to get that decree changed, or all of us are going to be exterminated in one day. A threat against Israel. And so he challenges her. And the book written by a man, I think he's a Jewish Christian, Robert Stern, I didn't know, maybe some of you do, he was challenging the church today and the Western people. And I'm not going to go to the extent of what he was challenging, but the threat, the enemy's threat of today through radical Muslims. And it's rampant. You know, many people call Europe, Eurabia. Those of you that come from Germany, you'll know there's countless of Muslims. Do you know that the most common boy's name in Holland, believe it or not, is Mohammed. Recently, an Archbishop of Canterbury, I don't know if it's the present one or not, said that it won't be long in Britain before they will be living under Sharia law, which is a cruel, and if you're a woman, you would just, you know, even worse. Imagine, one of the best, I remember meeting just after India got its independence, talking to a man once. I was in Ottawa working, and asked him about that, and he said the greatest thing that the British people had brought to them, even when they were the ruling country, was British justice. Could you imagine British justice thrown over for Sharia law? And what you don't know is that there is conquest by babies. Three babies to every one or something like that by the Muslim people. You know, and the threat is real. And he said the church has got to look at realistically at this. Just like Esther. He said to Esther, if everybody's killed, you think you're going to escape? God will find another way to save his people. And you know, I'll just turn it to Judges here. You know I got Gideon here. I got to get to Judges. Because I had Gideon too. But anyway, and you know the great text that he said to, first of all, read what he says. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief, deliverance for the Jews will rise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. Who knows that you are a believer today, a warrior of God for such a time as this, but to face reality. You see? And then, if Esther went in before the king, you didn't do that. You didn't go into the throne room. The law was you'd be killed. So, even though he said he hasn't called me for a month, if I go in, he says, if I perish, I perish. Anyway, to make the long story short, you know, she went in, she got favor. The evil man was exterminated himself. And that's it's kind of a good, if you like novels, Esther's a good novel. Anyway, but she stood up. But she came out of, what he describes, her life was a life of complacency. She was living in luxury. This orphan girl was now living in luxury, the lap of luxury, and under the king's favor when he wanted her in and whatever. But she had to face reality. And that his point was, we have to face reality, the world around us. Did you know that the bombers in Britain were homegrown? And some of them are people brought up in a Christian culture and turn to Muslim and become radical Muslims. They're not all just Arabs. So anyway, but you know, I'm not going to go into the thread of that because, you see, if we want to, we can allow the devil, who's doing, I mean, are you surprised the devil is out to destroy Christians and Jews? Are you surprised at that? That he hates us? He's out to destroy us? Are you surprised? And that all his machinations, whether it was through Adolf Hitler, or whether it was through Joseph Stalin, or whether it was Saddam Hussein, all of these people, I believe, were demonized. And out to, and imagine, trying to destroy the Jewish people. Six. And some brave man like Bonhoeffer stood up against, as you know, Adolf Hitler, but perished. But who's the saint? Who's the one that's in the courtroom right now of the king? But John Bonhoeffer. But you know, I think we can dwell too much on what the devil's up to and give him too much credit. Sure, it's real and we got to be aware of it. But what's God up to? That's the point I want to get this morning. There's a wind a-blowing. There's a rain a-pouring. There's a fire burning. Hey, that's what we're part of. And you know, you may have heard of the Toronto Blessing, 1994. And the things that went on there at that time. Heidi Baker, have you heard of her ministry? You just had heard from Africa? Heidi Baker in Malawi, I think it is. She was drowning in self-giving with nothing happening. She came to the Toronto Blessing in 1994. She was laid out for 3 days. Heidi Baker has gone back with her husband. They have a powerful ministry, many churches established, many people brought back from the dead. I saw a clip where she goes in to a village, which is largely Muslim, and she asks to see a dead. They're having a meeting. Bring a deaf person up. They bring a deaf person up in this particular clip. A woman who held her baby, and the baby had never heard the mother had never heard the baby cry. The woman gets her hearing. And there's multiple miracles in that meeting. John Arnott was telling of going over there, and there's a woman reported to have raised, in her ministry, not her, raised 7 babies from the dead. And John Arnott, he's from the Toronto Blessing, you know, he said, well, how do you do it? What do you do? 7 babies dead and you raise them? She said, I take them, I walk with them, I sing praises to God, I love on them. The last one, she said, took 5 hours. She's carrying this little corpse. Well, I happen to believe that. I've heard Heidi Baker. She's strange. Strange and wonderful in the spirit. Well, that was a Toronto Blessing. Randy Clark, and we went to hear to a seminar of his on healing. Again, it was when he was released in the power of ministry, released in the Toronto Blessing. Well, you know, they had a meeting, a celebration in January, 20th anniversary. And there's many prophecies, but Mark DuPont, and we had Mark DuPont as a speaker at St. Peter's, an Anglican church in Okotoks. Mark DuPont is prophetic. But I don't remember much about what he said at that time, but I heard him at this, and he said that what happened in Toronto in 1994, it's going to spread out, and you're going to hear of it in cities. Now, I wish he'd said little towns. Well, let's call ourselves a city. But he said in cities all across Canada, and beginning this year. So, you know, if you're going to be a warrior for God, and even maybe a hero, not very, very, maybe you don't think of yourself as a hero, very brave, but we got to have some expectancy that our God is alive and active in our midst, and he's moving. So I think that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So I'll bring you to you another hero. This is Gideon. You know the story of Gideon, that again the Midianites were attacking the Jews. And so God raises up a warrior. And you know, it says here, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And you know, I suspect that's probably how Gideon went. Who? Me? A warrior? And he said, when the Lord says, "I'm sending you." And Gideon says, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord answers, "I will be with you." What did he tell Moses when Moses was told he had to go to? "I will be with you." We're not sent out on our own. It's not in our power. If you're going to be a warrior for the Lord, the weapons of warfare are given to you. The Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. Anyway, so he says, and then if you go on, but here's the verse that really struck me, because I heard a teaching on it. In verse 34, when the Midianites had come over the Jordan, were ready to attack, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." Now, that doesn't sound very remarkable. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. But, you know, if you look, and I've got a New King James Bible, Spirit-filled Bible, and the footnote on that particular text says the Hebrew for the Lord came upon, the Hebrew is clothed with. Well, that's a funny phrase, isn't it? The Spirit clothed itself with Gideon. That's strange. Well, the teaching I had said, the Holy Spirit puts you on like a glove. Do you know, I've shared with you, and I know that the Spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, and I've shared with you. But there are times it seems like the Lord has put me on like a glove. When he's done things through me that, like the time we had a meeting, and I've shared this with you, an annual meeting, and there was going to be a war about something, and I won't go into the dynamics of that. All I know is the Lord orchestrated through me things to say, a peace to come on everybody, a motion that had to be unanimous, which I'd never thought about. No losers, all winners. The Holy Spirit took that over. In a sense, it's like he clothed me. And I'm almost an observer to what I'm doing. And I've had that happen on several occasions. When the Lord has used me in that way, and I just marvel to shake my head, "Oh my goodness." When God seems to take possession of me, not against my will, but with my will, because he knows I'm trying to do his work, to do what he wants done. I think that's marvelous. You see, I think there's a wind blowing. There's a rain pouring. There's a fire burning. And I want to kind of switch a little here, because I'm talking about prophecy and about things to come and what we're involved in today in life as believers. As believers. You know, if you're the kind of person that comes to church and you're happy and you go home and forget about your Christian faith for another week or whatever it is, or you try to be just a good person, you know, the enemy is not going to let you sit in a comfortable pew any more than he was going to let Esther remain in the harem. Inner comfort. So, you know, we have to be alert to what's going on and what God's up to. Mark Dumont says things are going to break across Canada. I say, they can't start soon enough. But there's another prophetic man, very powerful. His name was Bob Jones. I heard Bob Jones preach one time. He told about when he had astral travel. He stepped in a truck. They were hours late. They had to get to the airport. They'd been up all night pretty near. They got in the truck and they were immediate at the airport. Bob Jones could tell you many experiences he had of being taken into the third heaven or whatever, of a time when Jesus came and visited him. I heard him tell about that. And he was quite a different kind of a character. Chris Vallotton was telling about him. I'll tell you why in a minute, about why Chris would have been talking about him recently. But Chris was saying the first time he met Bob Jones, he came to Bethel a few years ago, and Chris was shaking his boots to meet this great prophet that was considered to be so accurate. Anyway, Bob Jones came, and as he was leaving the to go back in the airport, Chris had to take him back to the airport, and he said, "Give me your phone number." And he said, "Give me your phone number, and I'll phone you when you have a problem." Now that's a little different, isn't it? Did you get that? Usually, I'll give you my phone number, and if you have a problem, phone me. Bob Jones says, "Give me your phone number, and when you have a problem, I'll phone you." And about a year later, Chris had problems like that, and he was in his mind attacked by demons and had nightmares. So he gets a call this one morning after a very bad nightmare, and Bob Jones says, "You didn't have a very good night, did you?" He says, "You had a few demons roaming around, didn't you?" "Yeah." And he said, "And you had a dream like this," and he describes the dream, the nightmare. Bob Jones was a man very powerfully in tune with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you that because just to show you that. Because Bob Jones had a couple of prophetic words. And he's got a book, and I just downloaded it on here, my Kindle. And every fall at the Day of Atonement, he would get visions and prophetic words. And then he would put them in a book, and they called it Shepherd's Rod. And this one is Shepherd's Rod 2014. These would be prophetic words for today, or what's going to happen this year. And I'm not going to give you everything he said, but one was he saw an egg in his hand, and the egg, this is a vision, and the egg started to open up. And he said, "I looked at the egg, examined the egg, I saw it had fire inside. It was like the birthing of fire. This egg represents a new birthing, a new life, because it represents the second birthing of the baptism of fire. This baptism will be far greater than Pentecost, more powerful than Azusa Street of recent times. I believe we're all getting ready to be birthed a second time in fire. This was the timing we will see it, the fire of God this year." John answered and said to all, "I indeed baptize with water. But one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So Bob Johnson was saying in that prophetic word, he's seeing that there's going to be a powerful move. And it'll be a move, baptism of fire. A lot of us have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We have the gift of tongues. We haven't necessarily been drenched with the fire of God. Because that'll burn out all the drool, you know what fire does. It empowers, but it burns out that which ought not to be there. Well, he said this is coming this year. And then in January, there was another prophetic word by him, and I haven't written it out, but it was this. The prophetic word was he saw an apple tree in blossom. And so he said, I prayed up what this was about. And this is, I like this one especially, more than maybe the fire, but I want the fire. But he asked the Lord, what did this mean, this apple tree that's got blossoms? He said, there are a lot of Christians that are in bud. They've never been able to come out into full bloom. Many of them have promises, and like he means by that, prophetic words that go back many, many years. And the Lord said, this year, these buds are going to be in bloom. And he said, by the time the leaves, which usually in May, fall from the apple tree, things are going to happen. A lot of the saints are going to have prophetic words begin to open up for them. I got one from 1998 by Keith Hazel. Said I was going to go to Africa. Well, I've been to Africa, but I go again. To the United Kingdom and to the Caribbean. I've been to the Caribbean, but I don't think that was what it meant, because it wasn't ministry. Well, I don't like traveling, but if that's what the Lord has, it wants to bring that part to bud. See, I'm 86. I renewed my passport for 10 years. Okay? You see, we have to live with an expectation that God is up to something. He's up to something big. And if all these things sound like, to me, okay, they haven't happened yet, but I have to live in expectation. I have to live in an expectation that I am on the cutting edge of what God's up to in building his kingdom. And that means, and I don't feel like a warrior, I never have felt like one, but if that means being a warrior, whatever. You see, every time we proclaim Jesus as Lord of life, every time we move in ministry of the Holy Spirit, we push back the enemy. At every time, right now, this moment, the enemy is not happy with us right here. He doesn't want to hear anything about the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want the name of Jesus lifted up as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He doesn't want you going out encouraging people in their walk of faith. You've got, and see, you all have the ability to encourage people in their walk of faith. Encourage them as people. You don't have to be great prophets. But I love it. I love it when the Lord puts me on like a glove. And I'll just, well, I don't know when it was, maybe within the last year, I'm sitting down there and Pastor, and I just felt the Lord had a word. Sometimes when I get it like that, all I get is a little phrase. I don't have the full prophecy. So I get up here. The pastor is so gracious, he lets me come, and I begin prophetic word. It's a word of encouragement. And the interesting thing is, the more I speak, the sometimes I get louder, and I shouldn't. But anyway, the more it builds up, the anointing builds up with me. And the Lord was putting me on like a glove. And for an hour, and some of you may remember this, for an hour, that anointing was on me. And I went around, and I would just see somebody, and stop them, and I had a word for them. Well, they're great words, not one, but encouraging words. And that anointing, the Lord had put me on like a glove, and I wouldn't say I was moving in a trance, because I was having fun. I was having fun proclaiming in the Lord encouragement for so many of you people. But that's happened to me. And the Lord, what am I saying about all this? It's not about me. Gideon was a nothing. Who am I? I'm the least. How do you feel about yourself as a Christian? On being a frontline Christian, being on the cutting edge of what God's up to today, in building his kingdom and turning back the powers of darkness to be totally eliminated. How do you like? And lifting up the name of Jesus, walking in the love of Jesus. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Well, do you want the fire burning this year? Burning you? Do you want the wind blowing? Maybe blowing you to places you never think would go or do? Do you want the rain pouring? You know, I hear some funny things of God. Do you know God does funny things? I've heard of services recorded where people are in a service like that, all of a sudden it pours. It's pouring rain. Isn't that weird? Or feathers. Well, that time for several time in Bethel where they had this glory cloud, and my son-in-law was there, and I talked to another man when we were down there, and it was like fireflies. You know, what they call glowworms or fireflies. God does funny things, and he doesn't ask you if he can do it or not. How do you think Heidi Baker liked being laid out for 3 days? Do you know that for 2 years, Heidi Baker would go and speak And he would lay her right out, and she would have to lie like that and give her message. I guess you have to wonder, well, okay, God, what do you... You have to say, Lord, you could do anything you want with me. I do. I'm asking you for a tsunami. I'm asking for a drenching, but I'm asking for the fire, the baptism of fire. The burning of my mind, thoughts I don't want to think, and you know, even the aches and pains I don't want to have, whatever. I have to be a frontline troop. I don't even know what that means, but I have to be that. What about you? Aren't you excited to see some of these prophetic words I've been telling you about filled this year? Or do you just want church as usual? Just want to be comfortable, come to church? Oh, by the way, I was almost the late Bob Reed. I was down on the treadmill, and I looked on the big TV, and I saw it was 9 o'clock, and my watch said 8, and I'd forgotten. And you would have got the food late. We had to bring the food today, so you would have got the food later. So I'm here. See, sometimes I do walk on a different foot than some people, but I have fun. You know? See, it's not all heavy, heavy, heavy. Isn't there a joy when you sing, praise the Lord, O my soul, O my soul? Something should lift in your spirit. That's what joy is. The lifting in your spirit as you're responding to the love of our God through Jesus in His Spirit. Bless the Lord, O my soul. There's a wind blowing. There's a rain pouring. There's a fire burning. Lord Jesus, I don't want these to be just words. Would you begin this right now here? Would you begin touching, blowing the wind on somebody, pouring the rain on somebody of your Holy Spirit? We know that means spirit. And burning others. And maybe some of us, all three. Would you do that now? Don't let us walk away. Comfortable pew Christians. Write in our hearts that we are a warrior. O mighty warrior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.